Life Audio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. Should I let you do the intro?
Ooh, yeah. I would love to. Hey, everyone. Welcome to our podcast, How to Study the Bible with Nicole Eunice. And every now and then, Rev Rachel, just regular Rachel, is also
friend of the show.
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, just friend of the show. Glad you all are joining us on this lovely day. Actually, it's a very drizzly, wet, cold day in Western North Carolina. I don't know what the Richmond story is right now.
Well, I'm always offended when March weather's not good, even though every single year it happens. I'm always like, where is my spring? Lord, what have you done? Please do not cherry on the springtime weather. But it always is like this in March. You got to hang in.
Indeed. Persevere. There's a sermon to be preached out of that.
So there is.
That's for sure. All right, friends. And I'm driving the bus today because today we get to interview Nicole about the book that she just released, the latest one. And we are pumped to talk about it.
Hey guys, we're here because the Bible has changed so many lives. So just take a second and think about if you didn't have access to a Bible or you weren't even allowed to have one. This is a reality that many around the world are facing, which is why I want to tell you about one of our partners, Crew. Crew has missionaries in almost every country and they are seeing people come to know Jesus. There's just one thing they're missing, a Bible in their own language, and that's where you come in. For only $24 a month, you can provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. When you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $24, Crew will also provide meals to 12 hungry individuals through their humanitarian aid ministry. Plus, you'll receive a free copy of my new book, Not What I Signed Up For. Simply text STUDY to 71326 to help today. That's STUDY, or visit give.crew.org/study. Again, that's give.cru.org/study. Message and data rates may apply and available to U.S. addresses only.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So, Nicole, first of all, what is the title of the book that just came out?
New book, guys. Exciting. It's called Not What I Signed Up For.
Pulling it off the shelf right now. Hold, please. There it is.
Finding strength, purpose, and faith to get through a season you didn't expect.
Did you not remember the tagline off the top of your head?
It's just like sometimes I get the orders wrong. Like I just, if we're going to have a little behind the scenes, like all of these little pieces are the parts that take a long time. So thankfully the title came right to me. My publisher loved it. We were all over the title. But when you get to subtitles, usually there's a whole lot of back and forth. And so you're trying to like, I'm like, what 3 words in what order did we say? So yeah. But I believe in the I believe in the subtitle, which is what's important, that really the book's promise is a way to be a companion with you when you are looking for strength, purpose, and faith to get through a season you didn't expect.
And we all definitely know something about those. And
I was going to say, I appreciate the long pause. That's what I always say. I'm like, I'm going to give you a phrase. This is how I feel like this is my number one selling way to sell this book. I'm going to give you a phrase. Respond. And I say to people, what do you think of when I say not what I signed up for? And you can tell within the first like 3 seconds if the person's like, oh, I'm not going to tell you right now, but it's in my mind. It is in my mind. And I'm like, okay, good. Cause that's what I was hoping for. What I was hoping was that you would fill in the blank. If you've been on this earth for, a few turns around the earth, you probably can fill in the blank. And it is that season that often tests our faith and brings us into a very challenging place in our own experience with ourselves and our experience with God. And I wanted to engage in that conversation with our readers.
So my first question to kind of help us get inside this is, so Nicole, you spent a lot of time teaching and studying the Bible, and you're also a licensed counselor, so you know people and kind of what goes on in our internal world. There's a lot of things you could write about, and you have, in fact, written about. Why this book? How did this book come to be?
Well, as hopefully, you know, all good books, I hope it's a good book, come to be. It comes out of, you know, my own story. And in 2019, I just came into a new season where I felt like God was inviting me into something new. And that came with a lot of like painful choices. Went through that for a while and kind of engaged in that process. And then things changed. And then COVID happened. And then everything changed for everyone. And through the course of about 4 or 5 years in that time, leading up to now, there was just a full scale kind of cataclysmic amount of change in my life, some of which I chose, some of which happened to me. And in the process of that, I found myself returning to what has truly always been like one of my most favorite stories in scripture, which is the story of Joseph in Genesis. And I had taught it before in a couple of different venues and really loved it and sort of put it on the back burner, like, man, I just hope one day I can really dive into this and really have a chance to teach this. And then when this season came upon me, I realized, oh, wow, this is what, when God gives us stories in scripture, I think that they operate in multiple ways. And the truth is that stories in scripture are historical people at a historical time having a historical problem. Like it's really happening, right? Like there's parts of scripture that are poems. There's parts of scripture that are letters. There's a whole lot of scripture that are stories. And they're stories of real people. And I think that the first thing we need to know is that they are real people in a real time, in a real context. The second thing we need to know is that those are intentional stories. There are many, many, many other stories that aren't in the Bible, right? That are probably about righteous people experiencing amazing things, but God chose these stories. And I think that what God chose for us are stories that not only connect to the big story, but they do invite us to find ourselves in them. I think that we often think that Bible stories, oftentimes because there's cultural differences or it's a long time ago, they're sort of fantastical or legend or extraordinary people. But I actually think they're ordinary people. And God tells extraordinary stories through ordinary people, which leads me to believe that God invites all of us, even in our ordinary stories, to find the extraordinary meaning that he has for all of us. So I enter into a story like the story of Joseph, and I just want to mine all of the goodness, all of the lessons, all of the things that God's teaching us about people, about the world, about himself. And so it felt like in a Not What I Signed Up For season, which like if you want to put Mr. Not What I Signed Up For, if he was in like a contest, it would be Joseph. Maybe Job. You know, Job's there, Joseph's there in a really interesting, long kind of story that I think kind of gets told like a Disney movie sometimes. And it's so much more than that. There's so much more there than that. So I wanted to take the opportunity to like dive in and say, hey, if you're in a Not What I Signed Up For season, or you've been through one and you're trying to process what it means about you and what it means about the Lord, then let's like walk with Joseph through his story and see what God has to teach us there.
Well, actually, to that point, I'd love to press on a little bit more, because from kind of as you articulated the Not What I Signed Up For seasons, you've got poster children all throughout the Bible for those.
Yeah.
Like 80% of the Bible is that, right? You've got Daniel, you've got Job, you've got David's early years. I'm sure the disciples, when they're adjusting to this whole like come and die thing, were not excited. So what is it particularly about Joseph's story that really resonated in this season of your life?
Yeah. I mean, I think what we get with Joseph that's a little unique maybe to those other stories, not totally, but with his, it's really long and it covers a long span of time. Another New Testament character that's a bit like that is Peter. But Joseph's a really long story over a long span of time. And I remember the first thing that really stuck out to me about the Joseph story was that although he is human and makes mistakes, this is not a story about someone making mistakes. It's a story about someone caught up like in a big story that was really painful and really difficult. And I remember really early on being like, is anyone adding up the fact that like Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery
17.
And then nothing good happens for 13 years? It's a long time.
He was a junior in high school.
Yeah, a junior in high school, and doesn't even come into the beginning of what we would consider like moving toward a redeemed story. Doesn't even come into the beginning of a redeemed story for 13 years. And then after that, there's like another decade. And there are these little signposts along the way that I really think when you get into the details of the story, I just believe deeply about, even though he was faithful, which he was, and even though God blessed people through him, which he did, there are lots of signs and signals of the suffering that he went through, of the difficulty of that season, of the way he processed it, of this journey to, I think, surrender and to forgiveness, which, by the way, I think happened far before he actually reconciled with his brothers. I get into it in the book, kind of where that is, but there is so much richness there. And we built the book premise around kind of the ending. So in Genesis 50, verse 20, is where Joseph, for the second time, reassures his brothers that he has forgiven them. And he gives a little bit more. We kind of hear him tell the story in his own words. Like he backs into the previous like 30 years in his own words. And he says, you know, don't be afraid, which again, very interesting, but that's the starting point. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? What you intended for evil, God used for good, for the saving of many lives. And like in that one statement, that one phrase, we get these three really important things that we get to know about our life with God in unexpected seasons, which is you don't have to be afraid. God is God, which means you are not. So like God is doing something. God is up to things. God is sovereign. Like there's a lot there about the fact that Joseph would say, like, am I in the place of God? Like I'm not the one writing this story, right? And then he's able to tell this redemptive, free story of like, despite all of that pain, despite all of that struggle, despite all of that darkness, all of this was used for good. Like to be the guy who's the guy who's getting hurt and the guy who's getting betrayed and the guy who's suffering and be able to say, that's how I read this whole thing. Like, it's just, it's an aspiration to me. Like when I think about it, I'm like, what if we could all aspire to be people who were able to say that with such confidence and freedom and healing? Because that's what he does. I mean, so he's the guy who goes through a hard thing and he comes out the other side. And I just started asking the question, how do you come out of the other side like that? Like, how do you say that those things with conviction? And what does it look like? And maybe if we deconstruct Joseph's story, we'll find some of the treasures along the way that help us understand that.
Hey guys, we're here because the Bible has changed so many lives. So just take a second and think about if you didn't have access to a Bible or you weren't even allowed to have one. This is a reality that many around the world are facing, which is why I want to tell you about one of our partners, Crew. Crew has missionaries in almost every country, and they are seeing people come to know Jesus. There's just one thing they're missing, a Bible in their own language, and that's where you come in. For only $24 a month, you can provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. When you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $24, Crew will also provide meals to 12 hungry individuals through their humanitarian aid ministry. Plus, you'll receive a free copy of my new book, Not What I Signed Up For. Simply text STUDY to 71326 to help today. That's STUDY, or visit give.crew.org/study. Again, that's give.cru.org/study. Message and data rates may apply and available to U.S. addresses only.
So I know it is often the case that when I go to work on a big chunk of scripture, it actually goes to work on me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot that happens in the process of really deep diving. So like, what happened in you over the course of working on this book? Mm,
thank you. Gosh, you're such a good question asker, Rach.
Thanks. I try.
Yeah, I'll give you one example. One of the things that really stuck out to me early on as I was studying was all the time, like many times Joseph is called to like God, that he had God's favor. So there's a lot of like God's favor was with him. And there's this weird dissonance that started to develop in me where I was like, okay, I'm going through this story like it's a movie, right? Like I'm in it and I'm feeling it. And I'm like, every time it says that Joseph was favored, he's in a crappy situation. And there's nothing about it that seems like it's completely different than the way we might use the term favored in like our own kind of vernacular American language of the American dream. And the second thing was, evil people were experiencing good through Joseph, like kind of bad, like the bad actors in the story. It says specifically that they were experiencing blessing because of Joseph. And it's just, again, that's a real slap in the face of like the way we think about why God does what he does, how he does it, who he blesses, all that. kind of thing. And I remember being very convicted. I actually had a friend, I was struggling mightily and was feeling stuck in some hurt and just stuck in like things not moving forward the way I expected. And a friend of mine said, but you keep doing so many good things. And like, basically she was convicting me and reminding me that God calls us to be faithful and God calls us to the opportunities that are in front of us. And just because it's not the opportunity you thought it would be, or just because you're not where you thought you'd be, or just because something in your life is blown up or crushed or horrible or whatever, like you still have opportunity. And that's what you see is that, yeah, of course, God was with Joseph and he prospered, but Joseph showed up for the life that God gave him like over and over again. He kept showing up faithful to wherever he was. And I think that can be a really strangely, it can be a strangely powerful thing to believe that in your grief and in your hurt and in a season you never want to be in, that God still has a lot for you to do and that he has opportunities in front of you, especially when we don't feel ourselves, or we don't feel our best, or we feel very weak, to know like, oh, God's still doing things and inviting me to things right here. First of all, is hard. Second of all, is powerful. So that's one of the things I took from that time.
That's beautiful. I think my last question is a totally unreasonable question, because that's why you wrote a whole book on it, because you had multiple things to say. But if you could give people one little core nugget to take away, what would you want that to be?
Yeah. Yes, I love that. I'm like, yeah, hopefully I have one thing to say. my one thing to say is that surrender can be really beautiful and it can lead to awe and wonder and settledness, but it comes through suffering. It really does. And that's kind of a big thought. So I'm gonna bring it down like just a little bit more, and I'll tell you a story like of how I know that. When I went to write this book, a lot of times I draw, of course, from my life and ministry, but this time particularly, I was at a retreat out in California and I was teaching the kind of nuggets of what this book was going to become. And so I said to the group there, hey, if the phrase "not what I signed up for" resonates with you, I'm going to be under this tree at this picnic table like at 2 o'clock today. If you want to come and share your story with me, I'd love to hear it. So many people came that there wasn't room on the patio for everyone. Like it just, I could barely even hear from everyone. And it was so powerful because over the course of that time with like several dozen women in this patio, there was a theme that emerged. And the theme was, here's how hard this thing was, or I'm in it. I trust God more now. Like the outcome, the output of these seasons for those who were stayed the course, stayed faithful, were there. The output was this resilient, deeper, joyful trust than they had before. And the resonant theme was, I would never want to go through that again. I would never even want my worst enemy to go through that. However, something beautiful and good came out of it. One of them called them like the shimmering treasures in a dark cave. Like you have to go all the way to the back of the cave and then you see like just the glimmer. And there's just so many metaphors and images that these people, these women used specifically, but they all led to this idea that the kind of trust that comes out of a season like that is worth it. And that would be sort of my takeaway.
The kind of trust that comes out of a season like that is worth it.
Absolutely.
There you go. That'll preach.
Well, thanks. Thanks, guys. Okay. So anyway, if you want to read the first chapter, you can. The chapter and intro is up on my website. If you want to get a little sample, if you like it, if this resonates with you, if you want to pre-order or order the book, if you order it before March 19th, you get the audiobook free, which I read. So if you like the podcast and you like feeling like you're in conversation with us, with me, you get the audiobook free. So we also wrote a prayer journal that helps you write your own prayers in a season that you didn't sign up for. So both of those are bonuses that you get for ordering in advance. So go on over to my website. You can find out all the details.
All right. I'm going to do it. I'm excited. Thanks.
All right.
This is the other. Thanks for being faithful to the word the Lord has revealed to you in this season of your life.
Thanks, Rachel. I appreciate it. All right, you guys, we'll talk with you next week.
How to Study the Bible with Nicole Eunice is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you like what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review the podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.